Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, as we shift into the travel hour of the show. We are on Money Radio right now as it stands, but who knows when things are going to change. Yeah, so make sure you watch that website, Traveling with Françoise. Check it often to see what is going on. Joining us in the boardroom is Alex Z. Alex, well, here we are, second hour already.
Yeah, that first one went by quickly.
Yeah, it did go by. We talked about all sorts of things happening in the Coachella Valley. We talked about what I did during the week. We talked about the rainbow over the mountain this morning, weather. And now, like I say, it's all about travel. We also had Malcolm Gocioco on with Desert Battery and A1 Custom Golf Course. And this hour, we're going to find out about The Inland Empire, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. It is a book out by Larry Burns. And these books are always fun. You and I were just going through some of the pages, and half of the stuff in there, we had no idea.
No. It's all things that, you know, you drive by these little cities and you're like, I had no idea that was there.
Yeah. There's nothing there. I'll just keep right on going. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to change with Artifacts and Arts Across America. I am trying to change that perception that these little old towns across America have some fabulous museums, some history that we have no idea. And sometimes the buildings are no longer there, but there's little parts of them that are still there. They have plaques that will tell you about. And others, the property still has buildings on it or whatnot from long ago. So you just have to find them and know about them. And interesting. Lots of interesting stuff out there. All right, yesterday on KESQ, I was not there, but I promise I'll be back next week. Yeah, I just, whatever. But we will be showing Mount Rushmore next week. I will show you my trip. Of course, I'm still, we're working on it. I met cameraman Steve this week. We went over some of the clips, and of course, a lot of it shows the cold, wet weather we had, but that's really what it was, so we can't change any of that. But yeah, there's a lot of good pieces. It's going to be really interesting. You're going to learn a lot about places. There's a history. Here's one. And I won't even tell you all the history, but there's a history to Sturgis, South Dakota. People just think of Sturgis as the motorcycle rally. I mean, really, that's all they know. But there's a history there of Sturgis that goes way back before the motorcycle rally. So I'm not going to tell you about it all. In fact, because I don't want to mess it up. I don't have it all in front of me. But there's these places that we connect one thing with. That's how we associate with it. But come to find out that there's so much more involved with it. So anyway, we're working on that. And today's show is brought to you in part by Borrego Springs Resort and Spa, only 90 minutes away in Borrego Springs. Check it out. Their golf course is still open. I think it's going to close probably mid-June. But they've been having beautiful, cool weather just like we are, so it's perfect to go on out there and take advantage of this. Of course, we are going to have some big gusty winds coming up, they say, tonight. Yes.
Yeah, and be careful in Palm Springs, all that dust that comes up.
The dust and stuff. And when you're out there going to our deserts, whether it's to Arizona or to Las Vegas, or just even up, Oregon's had the weird weather up there. It's just, yeah, you have to be careful when you're out there on the roads. And I think, does this all have to do, is tonight the final episode of Game of Thrones?
It is.
Oh, tonight is the final one? Oh, I never watched, I did watch this season. I never watched the beginning, but I don't know. Everybody's complaining about it. I think the biggest complaint when any shows come to an end is that no one really wants them to come to an end. So no matter what they do, like Seinfeld and some of the other long-running shows, Big Bang Theory, they complained about that. And that one just came to an end, I guess. I didn't watch it, but I heard people complain no matter what happens at the finale of anything because they really don't want it to come to an end.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of shows after a while kind of lose their luster.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So people start complaining when really they're just complaining about watching the same thing over and over again. And people are going to complain. They want things to end certain ways, and it doesn't. So we're in the habit of just complaining about everything.
Complaining. I mean, we're spoiled. And what Game of Thrones alone has done to travel destinations, where they have filmed episodes of Game of Thrones in these little towns in Europe. I mean, they can't have any more tourists there. They are going to be glad when all this is over with, because their little tiny towns that were never tourist destinations became tourist destinations, and they frankly just didn't really have the people, the manpower, and the accommodations to handle all these people.
They probably loved it at first, and then it just...
Right. Now they're saying, okay, thank you, that is over with. All right. Okay, so we do have a lot going on this show. Like I say, our new Artifacts and Arts Across America, we have a new board member there, a nonprofit that I started working on that. Little things are all coming together. I have some exciting news with that. I can't tell you about it quite yet, but lots of good stuff coming. And for those of you that have sent donations, I truly, truly appreciate it. I really, really do. I know I put on there to prize winners and stuff, but oh well, you know, I've been giving out prizes for 17 years, so a little bit of help on your end. Certainly, I appreciate it because things are, like I say, things are starting to happen. I'm really excited about that. But here's something that I grabbed on the news. I saw this during the week, and I thought, really? A man was arrested at John F. Kennedy International Airport after TSA officers detected a handgun hidden inside a DVD player in his luggage. First of all, who has DVD players? And what are you doing carrying one around?
A guy that wants to hide his gun in it.
I guess, yeah, exactly. I thought it was they spotted the DVD player. The official spotted a DVD player inside his checked bag. Upon further inspection, officers detected a 9mm handgun wrapped in aluminum foil that was artfully concealed inside the DVD player. They contacted the Port Authority, who found the man waiting for his flight to Mexico. Instead of catching his flight, though, he was arrested and charged with weapons violations. So obviously he did not want to declare that. But they are getting better. I know, I think I said this last week on the show, that going to South Dakota, I noticed it just seemed a little bit more attention, even out of Palm Springs here, which we tend to get spoiled with Palm Springs because it is a smaller airport. Smaller airports are so much easier to navigate. The airport in Rapid City in South Dakota is so easy to navigate, which really is fun, where Denver can get very daunting. I mean, I heard a lot of stories about Denver. This time we actually caught the right train in Denver, didn't get on the wrong one, so I'm learning finally to navigate Denver. But I hear Dallas, Chicago, these big ones become daunting and stressful where the little ones don't. But I noticed that even at the little ones here, I consider it small, but we call ourselves the international airport, that their security just seemed a tiny bit tighter. And in Mount Rushmore and Rapid City coming back, it was tighter there. A gal who put a bottle of, I think it was wine or something, in her purse. I mean, they pulled her over and they opened that bag and they took her in the back and were talking to her. And she said it really was, she didn't even know what the deal was about. Yeah.
It's just, you know, they're doing their job, but there's also, you know, their job comes with at least some paranoia, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Which I appreciate. Like I said, yeah. I did not have TSA pre-check. I went, I just did regular line like everybody else, and I didn't complain one time because I thought, you know what? I personally would rather be safe than sorry.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if I'm so worried about being late, then I should be there earlier. I think probably if there's one complaint about that, is they sit there, TSA tells you over and over and over, you have to take your laptop out.
Yep.
You're going to have to take your shoes off and all this. They keep telling, and people still, they're not ready.
And you have to have your laptop off, too.
Yeah.
You always have to make sure it's off. Everything, all that stuff is off.
Off, yes. And people still get up there and are standing there looking at those containers as if, what am I supposed to do again? All right. Anyway. But that's all part of traveling. All right. On today's show, like I say, we're going to talk about Inland Empire, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Larry Burns is supposed to be here in studio with us. We also have some travel news to talk about. We also have a $25 gift card to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. And I do have that two passes for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. Which we'll give some of it away when we come back. How does that sound? You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom is Alex Z. And like I said, we have lots of changes coming up with the show in the next couple of months, so make sure you check on that website. Right now, we're still here at Money Radio, but who knows where we'll be, let's say, in the middle of June. So, and our guest Larry Burns is in the house, so I can't wait to talk to Larry about his book. And he has a book signing at the Malky Museum coming up in May here, May 26th. We're going to talk about that and about the weird, wonderful, and obscure Inland Empire. But right now, this segment of the show is brought to you in part by Cabot's Pueblo Museum. Yes, check that out, because that is definitely wonderful, weird, and obscure. It really is over there in Desert Hot Springs. They have their summer hours. Check it out. You can go to the website, cabotsmuseum.org. So fascinating when you go on over there. You really will be pleasantly surprised that you did. Yes, it's one of those that you won't forget about. Once you go once, you will not forget about it. And it's a great place to take your visitors when they are in town. When you sit back, you think, okay, we think of Living Desert, Tram, Palm Springs Art Museum, Palm Springs Air Museum, but a lot of times people do not think of the Cabot. And I tell you, it will make a big impression on your guests. There you go. All right. Oh, we do have tram tickets. Speaking of tram, we do have tram passes to give away. Two passes for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. Or you can have a $25 gift card to Johannes in Palm Springs. $50 value for tram passes or $25 for Johannes in Palm Springs. You don't get both. You get one or the other. You can give Alex a call at 760-440-8255. That's either tram passes for two or a $25 gift card to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. 760-440-8255. Give him a call. All right, Memorial Day travel to reach a 14-year high. AAA forecasts that almost 43 million Americans will get away for the holiday, a 3.6% increase, and the highest volume since 2005. All right, this year's Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival brought in a smaller crowd of attendees than previous years, yes, which resulted in hoteliers experience a drop in room demand. Yes, do you notice that they weren't bragging big time about all the amount of people that were at Coachella Fest? I talked to a lot of people at the store that I go to here, the Albertsons, which is in actually Rancho Mirage. They are normally jam-packed with Coachella Fest people. If you recall on the show, I said this year it was kind of odd. There wasn't that major influx of them over there at the store. A lot of people said that. Well, it wasn't what I thought. I thought just more people were using the East Valley because they have built more hotels down there and they're building more and whatnot. But actually, festival count was down this year. So maybe after all the hype last year with Beyonce. But anyway, the submarket saw a decline in demand during the festival for hotel rooms for the first time in a long, 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 long time. All right, Virgin Galactic establishing operations in New Mexico. Yeah, the move to Spaceport America signals the final countdown to a long-awaited launch of space tourism. They are going to do it. There are people signed up. They can't wait to go. I'm going to let those people go first before I go. Yeah, that's what I think. All right, an administration to divert TSA officials from airports to border, the CNN said it obtained an international memo stating a plan to send nearly 600 TSA law enforcement and security officials to the border to help with the swelling numbers of illegal border crossings. So, how is that going to affect us at the airports? I don't know. I guess we will find out. Alaska to get a record 1.3 million cruise visitors this year. Yes, the increase this year comes mainly from more big ships, including the largest ship deployed to date in Alaska, a 4,100 passenger, the Ovation of the Seas. That is huge. And, of course, they just had that two of the tour planes crashed. How do they run into the other on clear skies over a lake? How does that happen? I don't know. Anyway, Alex, we have a winner.
We do. He couldn't stay on the air, but it's Frank from the Morongo Valley, so just up the freeway.
Hi,
and
Frank.
He says he loves the show.
Thank you, Frank.
And, you know, he hopes that, you know, we stay on air and all that, you know. And I told him, don't worry, we're here to stay. We'll just keep up with the website.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to be somewhere, Frank. Don't worry, the show. And I'm getting that from a lot of you out there. I'm not going away, but the station here, they are making changes, and when that happens, then I have to make my own decisions on what I'm going to do. So anyway, no, I'm not going away. I'll just probably change where you're going to find me. So what did Frank pick? Did he pick tram or Johannes?
The tram.
Oh, he did pick the tram.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So that means we still have the $25 gift card for Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. So if somebody wants that, you can give us a call at 760-440-8255. And again, Frank, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. All right. South Rim, Grand Canyon. Really? I mean, before we even talk about this story, when are you going to realize, folks, that you cannot stand on the edge to take a selfie and then step backwards? What?
I mean, I hate to laugh, but still.
It's just...
Yeah.
What are these people thinking? These deaths of people falling off. I mean, the rangers can only do so much. At some point, you have to use common sense. Anyway, though, speaking of good news for the Grand Canyon South Rim is getting a birthday present for its centennial as part of its concession contract with the National Park Service. Xanterra Travel Collection is investing $30 million to rebuild the Maswick South Lodging Complex at the South Rim. The existing 90 rooms constructed in 1971 will be replaced with 120 new lodging units within four new lodging structures in the same general location. The new Maswick Guest Lodging is anticipated to open in the summer of 2020. So, wow, that'll be something. So, more rooms there, more people, but they're just trying to figure out what is making these people and these selfies do things that they're risking their life. Have you, Alex, risked, that you can think of, your life for a selfie?
Not that I know of. You know, I've not to that extent.
Not that I'm trying to think. One time I did sit on, but it was a really wide wall, you know, where it comes up kind of waist level and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think like that, like stuff like that is probably the most I've done.
Yeah, but never would I back up farther on the wall or try to stand on it or anything. I mean, I sat where my feet were almost touching the ground on the side I was on. So I was probably even more leaning on it than even sitting on it. And that was the closest I've come because it's just not worth it to me.
Would taking a selfie with a raccoon count?
Yeah, that might be.
Okay, well then maybe.
That might be a little dangerous, yeah, especially if she had babies nearby. Mm-hmm. Where'd you do that?
So back when I was doing my undergrad at UCSD, there were raccoons on campus.
Yeah.
So they'd, you know, obviously come out and try to scavenge through the trash.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm pretty sure that at least once or twice I've tried.
Okay, well, there you
go. I live life on the edge.
That's it for Alex, folks. All right, well, be careful out there, please. All right, and with more than 90 million Americans traveling abroad this year and 200 million unaware they could still be subject to foreign fees on credit card purchases even if they stay at home. This is very interesting. Not so foreign fees. 8 in 10 people don't realize credit card companies can charge foreign transaction fees when a cardholder in the U.S. makes purchases from merchants based abroad. We don't even think that way. Unaware of foreign fees, 50% of the people don't know if their credit card has a foreign transaction fee to begin with. This is the most common among people age 45 and over. Unfair fees. 81% of the people say foreign transaction fees are unfair. Women are slightly more likely to feel this way than men. Fed up foreign travelers. 6 in 10 people say they'll never get a credit card with a foreign fee again. I have not looked at my card to see if it has a foreign fee.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I think American Express is pretty good about that because they expect people to be traveling with an American Express card. I really have to check into that. They say the best credit cards for international travelers is Bank of America Premium Rewards Credit Card, Bank of America Travel Rewards, and Barclay Card Arrival Plus World Elite MasterCard. Best credit card companies for no foreign fees, Capital One, Discover, USAA, and Barclays are the only major issuers that exclusively offer no foreign transaction fee credit cards. There you go, right there. American Express wasn't even on there. So if you are traveling abroad, a couple things to remember. First of all, you want to let the credit card company know that you're taking those cards.
Yep.
Don't take a bunch of them either. Take one or two at the most. One preferably.
Yeah.
You can get by with one. Definitely let your credit card company know so you're not in the middle of a transaction and they decline you and your bus is leaving and they have to call the credit card company to get an okay from you. And all this is happening when everybody's staring at you and you feel really embarrassed because you're thinking, the card is good.
Yeah.
I know it's good.
And sometimes those phone calls can take a while.
Yes, they can, because you call, then they have to wait, then someone calls them back. So be prepared when you go and have, of course, traveler's checks as well out there. And just let your bank know if you're going to be using your debit card. Let your bank know if there's something. And sometimes I think it's good to put a limit on how much it can be withdrawn off of a card from your bank.
Yeah.
Just say, if anyone tries to get over $500, no. No. If it's me, I'll call you first and ask you for the money. But yeah, be safe out there. Don't just take everything for granted. It seems like almost every time I travel, I have to say this is the first time when I went to Mount Rushmore that I did not, for some reason, have the credit card company call and say there's been some sort of fraud. It seems like every time I travel, something happens. But this time, nothing. So, good. And I only took one card. That was it. Just one. And cash. I always take cash with me because I always like to tip housekeeping and everybody out there because I know they work hard. All right. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to get into any more travel stuff because we're about ready to wind up this half hour of the show. So what we're going to do is we'll go to break here shortly. When we come back, Larry Burns is here. We're going to talk about his book, Secret Inland Empire, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. I'm sure he has some other books as well. We'll talk about those and what he has coming up. You can actually meet Larry here Sunday on May 26th at the Malky Museum right up the street in Banning. We'll be right back. You're listening to more Traveling with Francoise or Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Well, Larry is in the house, and I'm really excited about this. Welcome to the show, Larry Burns.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Francoise. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm thrilled to share some of the cool places I've found and learned about over the last couple of years.
So are you actually weird, wonderful, and obscure?
I probably am more the obscure in terms of some of my activities and accomplishments over the years.
Well, I love your book here. I think it is so fun, and I have Facebook followers too that love this weird and obscure and crazy stuff that people don't even think about. They're in such a hurry to get from point A to point B that they miss so much in between. So first of all, Larry, let's back up a little bit and let's talk about you. You are an author. How did all this come about? How long have you been an author?
I've been a writer. I've considered myself a writer for a couple of decades now, and I haven't really ever made a living at it, I would say. But I think for most of us as artists, it's something that we have a passion for, and it's something that we can do. And we may not be able to make a living at it, but we can certainly contribute to the conversation about things we want to talk about, things that we care about. So I would say I published my first novel back in 2006. And then after that, I spent about a decade helping run an organization, start something up called the Inlandia Institute, which is a literary nonprofit. And so we promoted the voice of the Inland Empire by finding writers, publishing their work, putting on events for them, and basically developing the skills and abilities of the local community through various workshops. And so a couple of years ago, I had a little bit more free time and an opportunity came to me to write a book of my own. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to talk about the Inland Empire. It's something that I've had a passion about for a long time. I really love this community. I love its diversity. I love its can-do spirit. And so this was a chance for me to share some stories that connected to the things that I care about that I think are meaningful for us.
Because there is so much history. And when you say the Inland Empire, there are people, I mean, of course, folks that have lived in the Coachella Valley their entire life, but the Inland Empire is more than just the Coachella Valley. In fact, we're a little bit on the outskirts of the Inland Empire, aren't we?
Yes, and one of the fun things about this book is, and one of the fun things to talk about the Inland Empire is the discussions about who belongs and who doesn't belong in the Inland Empire. And you can have a lot of fun with people who are in the Inland Empire but don't want to be part of the Inland Empire. And then there's also folks who really don't know where the border is. So that's really a conversation we can constantly have. And you can learn a lot about yourself and other people by where you think the border belongs.
Oh, all right. So, but I'm going to say we're part of the Inland Empire. Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear. I live in Riverside myself. I grew up in Chino, both part of the Inland Empire. And I spent a lot of time in the deserts of the Coachella Valley. And I've always considered them part of the Inland Empire.
All right. And your book here, Secret Inland Empire, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Okay. I've been looking through it. Alex and I have been talking about it. It sits on my desk at home. And how did you – some of the things that you have featured in here, that the subjects that you have pointed out are just, how did you find these? One I'm looking at right now, The White Highway Dividing Line?
Yeah, so Dr. June McCarroll, that was a fascinating story that I came across. I'm trying to recall exactly how that story came to me, because a lot of these stories came from typical internet research, going to libraries and asking the librarians. You have an amazing amount of knowledge in the dozens of libraries we have in our community. And they've all got interesting corners to check out. So, but a lot of times it would be word of mouth. I would be telling somebody about this book or telling them about a place, and then they would say, well, have you thought about this place?
Ah.
And because I wanted to really talk about the ingenuity and innovation and kind of crazy practices, new ideas that came out of the Inland Empire, Dr. June McCarroll's story was perfect for that. So as a physician who came out here simply to be a farmer's wife, in a sense, and then actually saw the need with all of the poor workers out in our area. A lot of the farm workers and the Indians really had a severe lack of medical help, and so she basically supplied that for many years. And there's famous stories of her running around with a six shooter and her black bag, you know, doing all kinds of surgeries across the desert. And so I came across her story because one night, doing those late night travels, she was run off the road by a tractor trailer and realized that these roads are unsafe. We need to do something. And so her innovation was, why don't we put a white line down the middle of the road, and then we'll know what side we're supposed to be on it. And you look back at these innovations and sometimes you go, yeah, why didn't somebody think of that day two of making roads? And it took years.
It just blows me away because we think, well, didn't Caltrans do that?
Well, and the great part of this story is her persistence. You know, she gave this idea to the supervisors in the region and they politely said, this is not really an idea that we think is very good. And so it took a few years when the state transit system came into play. She petitioned them as well, and they thought it was a great idea. And then, of course, as things happen in California, it starts here and then it takes over the world. Very soon other communities began to take on the white line. So we have her to thank for that.
I mean, that is just fascinating in itself. Of course, I'm looking at some of your talking points here. 90% of the world's dates are grown in the Inland Empire, Coachella Valley. How long did it take? And we're going to talk about more things that are in your book, but how long did it take for you to write this book?
This book took me about a year to write.
Okay.
And if anybody out there is a writer or enjoys writing, this process I thought would take me about 6 months.
Yeah.
I'd written another book, a little smaller, just about Riverside, called 100 Things to Do in Riverside Before You Die.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me about 4 or 5 months. And so I thought, well, I'll add a few months and I'll get this done. The size and scope of the Inland Empire is such that you really become overwhelmed with the space. And then you want to figure out, well, what do I want to limit this to? Because I've got such a variety to choose from. So over the course of the year, I was able to get out and visit most of these sites, personally interview people that work on these sites or help develop those sites. So it was a lot more time consuming than I expected, but the experience itself was rich. And like I mentioned before, as I would go out to see places, I would find other spots along the way. And even more interesting, a lot of these places have what I call like twofers. You go for one piece mm-hmm. of artifact, and then you find another, sometimes even more interesting artifact at the same place. So I had plenty of fun with that and happy to figure out how to incorporate both of those special features into a single story.
Yes, because you have each story, most of them are 2 pages, I think, in the book. And you're really going to like the book, folks. It's easy to read. It's quick. You can jump through. I mean, there's really, you don't have to follow any set pattern with it. You can just finger through it and then just look at something. Now, this water park gone graffiti art, first I thought this was the one off the freeway going to Las Vegas. Is it the one off? It is. Is that
yes.
part of the Inland Empire?
It is. It could be part of the Inland Empire. So if you consider the 2-county region, San Bernardino and Riverside County, to be the Inland Empire, which some basic definitions do, then yes, it's in the northernmost part of the Inland Empire, but it is there as you leave the Inland Empire, you might say.
Well, and I've so many times drive, because now I actually go the back way through the Mojave Preserve. Through
yes.
Amboy, and yeah, you see the food dogs out there and all that. Have you been that way through the...
Not for a while. I went through Amboy recently because I put Amboy in the book because that's yeah. an interesting place. It's owned by an individual.
I met the mayor.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I met the mayor. Yes, what, 5 people? He's the mayor of 5 people, I think, in that town.
It's a very small town.
Yeah. And it was interesting. But this water park, I was looking through, I said, no, this can't be the water park that on the way to Vegas. So tell everybody, of course, it's off of the 15. What is the story of this water park?
So that water park is special for a couple of different reasons, one of which it was built just as a personal recreational facility. For the name of the first creator, escapes me. However, he did name it for his wife, so it was called Lake Dolores. Mm-hmm. And that was the name of this
Bob Beyer.
Bob Beyer, thank you.
There you go, okay.
And so he created this resort and enjoyed it for several years. And then soon after he started it, he opened it up to the public. And it became America's first water park. So in 1962, when this opened up, this was the first water park. And, of course, the idea caught on across the country. And for many years, people enjoyed that as a destination in and of itself and as a stop off on the way to the Nevada desert and other locations.
Well, I have never in my years, because it says here when it debuted in 1962, so I was still a baby at that point. And then when did it close? Did it say on here when it closed?
2009 is when it closed, or 2004 is when it closed for the last time.
Really?
So it opened up under a couple of different names a few times. Some sort of lawsuit. There was an injury at the park at one time, so that closed it down permanently. That was the last time it had a chance. I always thought it would have been lack of water that would have closed it down, given that.
Yep.
But apparently it had access to ample water through the aquifer there, and so that was never the problem. It was just a matter of legal disputes and lack of options. There's so many other things to do in the Inland Empire nowadays that a water park really can't sustain itself up there.
Yeah, because people want to get to Vegas.
They do.
When they're going on there, they don't want to stop at a water park. And now, like I said, graffiti art enclave is what you call it. Well, Larry, we're going to go to break. When we come back, you have a bunch of tabs there in the book that you brought. I'm going to let you pick out some of your favorite stories. How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay. All right, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Joining us today is Larry Burns. He is the author of Inland Empire, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. This book is fascinating. You're going to really, really enjoy it. Whether you go see these places or not, I tell you, you are just going to sit there and be fascinated by them all. Larry, before we get any farther, because I know I'm going to forget, because we're going to be talking about more tabs that you have and a couple of things I want to bring up. Where can people get this book?
They can buy it throughout Southern California at most Barnes & Nobles. And then you can also get it online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And then your indie booksellers, if you go to indiestore.com, they will direct you to the nearest independent bookseller that carries the book.
All right. And you are going to be at the Malky Museum, which is right up the road here. I've been here. It's a great museum in Banning. You're going to be there on Sunday, May 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is free and open to the public. Are you going to have books for sale?
I will have books for sale there. And in addition to myself, there's going to be traditional dance and music and Indian fry bread and great barbecue for $10. This is an annual celebration. The Kiewit is a time to celebrate diversity and celebrate our heritage. And it really fits with the themes of the book, because that's really what the book is about, is celebrating all of the great things and peoples that make us who we are.
Okay, well, that sounds quite fascinating. And folks, I will have this information on the website, so in case you missed it, but it is next Sunday, May 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Larry's going to be there. It's free to the public. Of course, the food you have to buy, but go on up there and check it out. If you've never been to the Malky, you're going to have a fun. It's quite an experience. It's a very interesting museum there, and then you can talk to Larry. And are you going to be giving lectures, or how are you going to do this? You're going to...
There will be more casual. We'll probably have plenty of time to chat, so if you come by to that, we could probably have a nice longer discussion one-on-one. We could chat about some of our favorite places. One of the fun pastimes is to hear about things that I didn't put into the book, because there's always going to be these cool places that I missed. And so I like hearing those stories. You know, I might do a second book someday, so I'm already collecting all of the things I didn't capture the first time.
Yeah,
so
I bet. And
I'd
one
here
that caught my eye, too, is the Hemet Maze Stone. What the heck is that? I mean, I'm looking at this. This looks like one of those alien stone croppings.
Yes, it does look like an alien. It looks like one of those crop formations in a giant stone. And that just adds to part of its mystery. So we find interesting things in the desert, and given the long history, we've had people out here for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And so when you see an artifact, odds are you can connect it to a known cultural group. The mystery of these is that it does not connect to any known cultural groups. It's not referenced by any of the other existing tribes or any of their oral histories. The symbols on there don't necessarily align with any other symbols that we have from similar cultures in the area. There's only about 100 or so that have been identified. They've only been found in the Inland Empire and Imperial County. And this is the largest one that's ever been found, and it's the only one I'm aware of that's publicly on display anytime you'd like. So,
and it's off of State Highway 74, and it is free to go in there. So it is the Hemet Maze Stone. All right, you have a lot of orange tabs on the book, and we were talking during the break that Larry was telling me that you didn't put in the book your favorites, which people would assume right away. What was the criteria that you would then add something to the book?
The thing I was looking for, some of the values that I really believe are important for the people of the Inland Empire is a can-do spirit or a do-it-together type of spirit. So in many cases, some of the cultural artifacts that we've been created are no longer maintained by the person who created them. For example, there's lots of places you can go see roadside folk art. You know, mm-hmm. somebody decorates a boulder, and that's fun and interesting. But my criteria was it had to be more than just fun and interesting. It had to really connect with community in some way or some of our cultural heritage. So off of Highway 74 between Paris and Lake Elsinore kind of is this roadside boulders that are shaped like – they look naturally like a cut apple. So it looks like somebody sliced an apple. And Neil Larson painted those years ago, moved away. And for years now, the community has gotten together and repainted those every couple of years. So the reason it's in the book is because it really connects to our community spirit and our desire to do things together to make stuff work. So that was always an overriding value I was looking for.
All right. But I have to – I'm sure that you have a couple that you found obsessed with, that you yourself were so fascinated by them that you had a little bit of an obsession, because there is so much to cover in this book. Tell us a few of your – and I'm not going to use the word favorites, your obsession ones.
One that I'm particularly obsessed about that I keep coming back to, and it's in Wonder Valley. So it's right in the heart of this area. It's not far from where we're talking right now. Now, if you're listening to this and you're not near Wonder Valley or near Joshua Tree or the desert in Coachella Valley, you can find them online on Facebook. So mm-hmm. there's a public Facebook page for this site. But this is Sunvale Village, and it's this outdoor art installation by artist Kathy Allen. And so what she's put together is these little enclaves, these little homes made with found materials. So this is all trash that she's found in the desert.
Okay.
So it really connects with our conservation spirit. You know, people who don't live here come out here sometimes mm-hmm. and abuse the desert. And we had some really awful examples of that with the government shutdown a few months ago.
Yeah.
And conversely, we also saw the community really step up and try to preserve these as best as possible. This is a fitting example of exactly what happened there. Is somebody from this community is taking the waste or the debris and making something useful out of it and mm-hmm. saying something important about the values of our area, what we care about, and the types of things that we want to preserve and maintain for ourselves. And that's mostly just a sense of community, a desire to forge our own path and create our own identity without the fear of prosecution and freedom and the totality of our experience, so we can really express ourselves.
So, Larry, I have a question for you. Do you know what those little homesteads out there are called?
No.
They are called Jackrabbit Homesteads.
Oh, the little ones,
all
yes.
the ones in Wonder Valley, and they are called that because the people that originally started building them said that the jackrabbits would come sit in the shade in the afternoon.
Yes, those little suckers.
Yes.
So these are good fitting versions of this, because these are like under the little creosote bushes and mm-hmm. And all. And so it's on a 5-acre spread, and there's a whole little museum next to it that's kind of like a refugee way station. So you can really get into that experience. It's by appointment, but like I said, if you just want to check out some of the neat aspects of it and catch some of the fun puns and engage in a more especially during the summer heat here, if you want to engage from the comfort of your home, then her Facebook page, Sunvale Village, would be very entertaining.
I see you have the Cabot in here as well, York's at Cabot. And let's see, what else? Pick another one that you found strangely fascinating.
Strangely fascinating. So a little west of here in Hesperia, there's this place called Cal Earth, and they actually design adobe homes.
Oh.
And so not only did they design adobe homes, they put on talks about how to design your own homes, and they've got some really interesting construction out there. And again, it's this fascinating contrast. You drive into the high desert, you drive through a suburban neighborhood full of homes that all look the same, and then behind them is this big open space full of these really creative adobe-looking structures that some of them look like traditional homes, some of them look like wigwams. It's really a whole variety of things.
And people are living in these?
People can live in those things. Okay. Yeah, and you can build them in your house. You can build them. They're permitted in the state of California. They're actually safer than they're beyond the basic building standards for earthquake safety and things like that. So they're safer than your typical home. They cost less. You know, you could actually have a mud house with free Wi-Fi access. I mean, you really contrasted the old and the new together.
That might be next. You have the Integratron as well, but you have NASA's Interstellar Switchboard. What is that about?
So NASA's Interstellar Switchboard is fascinating to me because that is the world's first deep space satellite. And basically what that is the communication link between everything that flies around in the sky. So all those probes, Hubble telescope, all those other fascinating things, the Mars rover, their signals come through Goldstone. So every message from space comes through the Inland Empire and then is distributed throughout the world.
And you say this is inside a Harvey House?
The visitor center is several miles south in Barstow at the Harvey House.
Right. All right. I know where the Harvey House, yeah.
Yeah, civilians can't get up to the location itself without special permission and tours and things like that, but you can go to the Harvey House any day of the week practically when they're open.
I think that's a television episode right there.
Yes, it is a lot of fun. And then at the Harvey House, of course, you've got all these other artifacts around that you can visit. There's the Inland Empire Museum. There's the it's not the Tramp Museum, but it celebrates Hobo. I think it's the Hobo Museum.
Yeah. All right. And you have McDonald's up there in Barstow, too. McDonald's.
Yes, the world's first McDonald's. And that's another twofer, because not only do you have the first McDonald's full of artifacts from various McDonald's around the country, but wrapped around it is the world's most detailed mural by Phil Yee. And that is a illustration. If you don't want to buy the book, I want you to buy the book. But if you don't want to buy a book and you don't like reading, go see that mural. It highlights just about everything that's in this book. San Bernardino County history incorporated into a giant mural. It's beautiful.
Okay. And speaking of buying the book is only $20.95. It's a great deal. You'll have a lot of fun with this. This is one of those conversation pieces also. You can read this book, and when you go to a party and stuff, you can blow everybody away with all the things that you say. Did you know? Well, Larry, thank you so much for coming out today. I really appreciate it. Love to have you back on the show again. People can meet you again. Let's go over. That's going to happen next Sunday. Tell us again where they can meet you.
Next Sunday at the Kiewit. I will be there at the Malky Museum from 10 to 6, and I'll be signing books. I'll be talking to people and enjoying some delicious barbecue. If you want a more in-depth conversation, I'm going to be talking about all the odd, unusual places on June 10th, west of here again at the Dorothy Ramon Learning Center, and that is in Banning.
Okay.
So I'll be there June 10th.
And definitely if you don't get out that way to buy the book, you can buy the book at Barnes & Noble. Is there a website for people to go to purchase the book online, or you just do it through...
You could do it through these locations. You can also, there's links on my website, larryburns.net, and also on my Facebook page, which is at Larry Mark Burns.
All right. What's your next book? We have just a few minutes. We don't even have a minute. We have like 10 seconds or so.
I would say I want to do a book about our economy and our art.
Fantastic. All right, folks, that's it for today. Next week we'll be back, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things coming on the show, so you'll have to see. Craig Campbell will join us. We're going to hear about the Pageant of the Masters and more. So have a great week, and remember, as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.